Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I want to kiss you more.
All In with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio 111 Productions. We're going to interview none other than Sebastian Bach, the rock star from Skid Row, the lead singer. He was in Gilmore for 13 episodes as guitarist Gil. He first appeared September 4, episode 7, Festival of Living Art. Last appearance was season 7, episode 16, Will You Be My Lorelei Gilmore? He returned for A Year in the Life, episode 1, in winter. He is a Canadian singer who achieved mainstream success as the frontman of the American rock band Skid Row from 1987 to 1996. In 1999, Bach released his debut solo album, Bring 'Em Bach Alive, his first release after his departure from Skid Row. In 2000, Bach began performing on Broadway shows and productions. He made his Broadway debut in the title role in Jekyll and Hyde, April 2000. He also appeared in Riff Raff in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, 2001. From 2003 to 2007, Sebastian had a recurring role on the WB television show Gilmore Girls as Gil, the lead guitarist in Lamekin's band Hep Alien. He also appeared in Rock of Ages, 2012, and Trailer Park Boys, 2007, to 2014. Let's bring him in. Hello, Sebastian.
God, it's been so long.
Yeah, it's been Jesus. It's been since 2016, right?
It's been I think before that.
No.
Oh no, when we filmed the other show.
Right.
Yes.
It's great seeing you.
You too.
So let's get into this, man.
Okay.
So fans write in a lot of questions. They want to know certain things about you. So here they are. They want to know, and look, everybody, you guys know that Sebastian is, one of the great rock singers of all time. He fronted Skid Row, had a bunch of hits, big, powerful voice. After leaving the band, you went to perform on Broadway. How'd you make the transition from rock star to Broadway star? Talk about that.
Well, specifically, Atlantic Records was the label that put out Skid Row, and they also, Atlantic Theater Division, put out Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, the soundtrack record, written by Leslie Bricesse, the legendary librettist, and then also Frank Wildhorn, who wrote the score, the composer. So Frank went, after 4 years of the play being on Broadway, Frank went to Jason Flom in Atlantic Records and said, I want a rock star to play Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. And Jason called me and he goes, hey, man, I don't know if you're interested. And I go, do you have the right phone number? Like, really? And then he just explained to me that he thought with my rough, rock, raspy voice, that would be like Mr. Hyde. And then I also have a very clean ballad voice, which he said would work for Dr. Jekyll. I thought he was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And but I went to see the play with Jack Wagner in the lead. And I totally loved the play. I loved it. I loved the clothing. It was all like Victorian cool clothes and like effects, smoke bombs and beating people up with like walking canes. And the plot was Dr. Jekyll gets the girl and Hyde murders him. This is killer.
What could be better?
that wasn't really the plot. But I just really loved it. I really, really loved it.
Right.
And there's a bunch of other reasons that I loved it. But that's how I got the play. And then that's how I got into Gilmore Girls. Because Dan Palladino, after you had the other guitar, Jared Pilecki, right? Mm-hmm. He split the show. And he was in Lane's band, I believe. And so Dan and Amy Palladino went to Atlantic, who put me in Broadway. They said, we want a rocker to be on Gilmore Girls. And they said me. So, and then Dan called me at home. Mm-hmm. And he asked me just what you asked me. How the heck did you get on Broadway? And he was fascinated by that. So mm-hmm. That was what got me onto your show.
Obviously that's what made you lean into the acting more. So you did 13 episodes as Gil on Gilmore, and you replaced a guitar player for Dave in Lane's band. I don't think Jared was ever in the band, but maybe I'm wrong. Had you ever acted on a TV series before? Or was that your first time?
Yes, I don't know if you remember the channel VH1 that used to have all these rock shows and stuff. I don't know if the Gilmore Girls was before that, but I did a lot of acting on some weird VH1 things. but you know, I did some acting in school. But I after Jekyll and Hyde, I was Rocky Horror, as you called me when you first met me. And I played Riff Raff, and that was after Jekyll and Hyde. Then I was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. What a career.
With Carl Anderson, like if you watch the movie from 72,
mm-hmm.
he was my Judas. And he taught me so much about hitting the stage with like all your heart and soul. He was a master. He was a member of the Agape Church. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've ever gone to that, but the big singing church. And tragically, Carl died during our tour.
Mm.
So that was really, really heavy. And
Yeah.
And there's some other stuff I can go into about my dad and what the plays mean to me, Jekyll and Hyde and Jesus Christ Superstar, but this is supposed to be fun.
What was your first clue?
Well, Jesus Christ Superstar was really hard because if you weren't at the end of the play, like on the cross, if you weren't crying,
right,
then you were sucking, you know?
Right, like, right, right, right.
And
right.
Who wants to cry every day? Like I would put pictures of my dead relatives up in my my dressing room.
Sure, sure, sure. That's
and try to psych myself into crying.
The actor's process. Yeah. It's certain jobs it's required. And I guess with Jesus, you kind of know the ending there. So it's going to require. Yeah. Well, no, I hear you. I just finished my first season on a new TV series where I had to pretty much cry in every scene. And I just sometimes dreaded to go to work. I said, again?
It's a beating. Because if you're not crying, you're not pulling off
right,
the role.
Right, like, right.
So that sucks.
And I was on location for 4 months. I missed my family. I kind of went into the can a little bit. I kind of got a little depressed there.
Well,
and, you know, because if you're mining, so did that happen to you too? Because of the role, you went into some dark places and you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, right.
I mean, everybody's seen the play. They're so mean to Jesus.
I don't mean to laugh. It's not funny, but it's like they're really, really mean to Jesus.
Act one, he's riding on the palms. And he's like, Hosanna, Hosanna, everybody's like, Jesus, woo. And then act two, I'm standing on the side of the stage looking down, and I'm wearing a diaper.
Right.
With no other clothes. Like,
I'm sure.
Basically nude. And I go out there and I shuffle out there in my swaddling clothes. And then the stormtroopers in their big jack boots, they're like whipping me in like back and forth. And I got no shoes on. One of these dudes stands on my toe, on stage. And I go, like, that was the only time Jesus swore on stage, but man. That hurt. That wasn't part of the dialogue.
In real mouth, it's theorized that he had a real potty mouth.
Really?
No, I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass.
The thing is to say, Sebastian, you know, Jesus didn't walk like this, man. Because I walk on stage. Go, how do you know, dude? Like, really? What, were you there? Like, maybe he did walk in like this. What's up? They're like much more controlled and like this. And I go, well, you know, that's pretty subjective for you to tell me that. And, you know, maybe you got the wrong Jesus.
Maybe you got the wrong Jesus.
You know, maybe I should have been in Saw.
Maybe no, you wouldn't have.
That's crazy.
That was even, you wouldn't want to do that.
Now you talk about a career going from
No.
Gilmore Girls to Saw. That's quite a range. That's a heck of a range there, bro. From Luke to the Killer Clowns.
There are no clowns in Saw. But I catch your drift. It's very funny. All right, so here's another question. This is from Lila from Salt Lake City. Going from being on stage in front of millions to acting in front of a crew, what was that transition like for you?
Well, I think about filming the Gilmore Girls, and I think about, like, each episode was 1 hour long, and there's not a lot of TV shows like that anymore that I can think of. And what I enjoyed about it was we all got along, like as a cast and a crew, I wasn't there as long as you, but in my experience, everybody was like having fun together and we all were like on a mission to make something cool. Right.
Well, that's because they distributed mushrooms at lunch. So.
Well, dude, on Twitter the other day, they posted a picture of Hep Alien, our band, the Gilmore Girls, but they spelt it Hemp Alien. And I was like, I'll be over with my sub shack. I got some Chiba Hut coming your way. But then they deleted it because I think they didn't. Then they put Hep Alien.
Yeah, that's so typo. That's just plain disrespectful. You know? You got to go take care of that. Yeah.
So my answer would be that everybody was on a team, and I miss that. I love the feeling of it was a big cast and it was a big crew, but we were all on the same page as far as making something that we were all proud of and getting paid every Thursday.
Right. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Was the original plan to have you on for more than one episode, or did that grow as time went on?
That grew, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I became friends with Amy and Dan. We would go to the Rainbow a couple times, and me and Dan bonded over old Judas Priest and Rush. And he's a real rocker,
yep.
Dan Palladino.
Yes.
He loves rock. And as are you with your band.
My band.
Your band.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
So are you touring right now?
Or? Oh, no. No, I'm doing this. I did the TV series. I am going to Nashville in January to write some songs with some artists down there because they wanted me to come down and co-write. I've never done that before, so I'm I'm looking for... I don't know if I'm going to like it, but I'm going to try it. You know what I mean? Because I write in a very specific way, but I'm really open to this and I'm kind of excited about it.
That's great. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you? You guys?
Well, I just did the Taylor Hawkins concert at the LA Forum with Dave Grohl and Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath on bass and Lars from Metallica on drums. And then after that, we did the Kiss Cruise. We went on a cruise ship, which sounds fun. It's a lot of work. I mean, I love Kiss, but Tom Waits, when he was asked, hey, you like going on a cruise ship? And he goes, being on a cruise ship is like being in jail with a chance of drowning. And that's kind of what it is. Because you can't leave your room, you know. Like if you were on a Gilmore Girls cruise, you'd be stuck in your room because, Dan is short for fanatic.
Right.
But I love Kiss. And so that's one of my favorite bands. So that was really a lot of fun.
So that's great. So the music is still there. You're touring around.
Yeah,
that's great.
I have a new record label and we're putting out a new record very soon. I'm not supposed to talk about that, but I'm always working on new songs and new music.
Right. And so, you write your own material?
Mostly.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Right.
Like, if someone has a great idea, I'm not going to take a crap all over it.
Right, 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 right.
Like, a good song's a good song.
Yeah, right, you know? Exactly. You know it when you hear it right away.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, yeah. Skid Row, you know, we broke up a long time ago. They'll say, well, Sebastian can be hard to work with, but I wasn't hard to work with, like, on the song I Remember You. That was real easy. Done. Next. Youth Gone Wild. Done. Next.
Is there any talk of you guys getting back together and doing and touring? Because everybody's doing it now.
Yeah, there was texting and a little talking, but there needs to be more talking.
I mean, some of these older bands are doing stadium shows, for God's sake.
Absolutely. Poison and Joan Jett, Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Def Leppard. Yeah.
And you're in the pocket there. You could team up with somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Any of those bands, and oh my gosh. What's wrong with these guys? What the hell's wrong with these guys?
Well, I have a manager named Rick Sales, and he protects my interests.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, I mean, they got to deal with the business side of things, and they would rather maybe not deal with that, as far as I can tell, like, just not deal with that. But, you know, there's always a number, right? So, I mean, we're all still alive. We're all still alive. Then again, so is Hep Alien. We're all still alive.
We got
to get the band back together.
Yeah,
man.
You do, because there's, you know, all those great Hep Alien hits that everybody
knows
going back 23 years. You know, there's don't chew on my hemp
but this one,
don't step on my hemp.
You guys have been around that track, and it's not gonna happen like that, because I ain't no Hollaback girl.
You wrote that. It's a Hep Alien song?
No. That's Gwen Stefani.
There's the hit, Mrs. Kim, Get Off My Neck. You know, that's a big, big song. Lane Kim's, well, everybody knows the hit, you know, the 15,000 Bibles.
You know what's amazing, though, dude, is about the Gilmore Girls. When I go on tour, mm-hmm. in other countries, Australia, mm-hmm. Brazil, Mexico, all the different, I get in a hotel room and I put the TV on, and 60% of the time, there's the Gilmore Girls in a different language. And right. I'm like, holy moly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really?
Yeah.
And like, I get noticed in public in different places for different things. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm in a rock club, mm-hmm. it's Skid Row. If I'm in Canada, it's Trailer Park Boys, this show on Netflix that I'm on.
Right.
But if I'm in a mall, if I'm in a mall with women walking around with their daughters, uh-huh. are you kidding? Like, are you kidding me? Like, it happens all the time, and people love the show. I really, one of my favorite memories is when Geddy Lee from Rush brought his daughter down to the set. Do you remember when we were in the house? I think you're in the scene. We were playing guitar.
Oh, I kind of do remember Geddy Lee coming. I do.
Yes.
I kind of do remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. Because his daughter loves the Gilmore Girls.
Right.
And he just, when I just played with Rush at the LA Forum for Taylor Hawkins, and I was hanging with them, and I got him to sign one of my vintage Rush albums, and he put, Sebastian, I owe you for that day on the Gilmore Girls with my daughter. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And so, hey, man, thank you, Gilmore Girls. That was a fan's dream for me coming.
I want to talk about your voice. Were you born with that, or did you work on that and really train your voice?
I did. I do still to this day.
Right.
I have a,
so it's work.
Well,
it's a natural ability mixed with technique.
What's work is knowing how to do a 2-hour show
mm-hmm.
and then drive for 8 hours and then do it again the next night.
Mm-hmm.
That's work.
Right.
That's work.
Yep.
And so you have to know how to not push it too hard.
Right.
So you have to, there's a technique called speech level singing where you're not pushing it as hard as people think you are.
Right.
But then you save your power for those epic screams or whatever is your hardest thing to do.
Right.
But you have to learn how to do that. And when I got in Skid Row, Bon Jovi helped us. He took us on the whole New Jersey tour way back in 89. And he put me with his vocal coach, a guy by the name of Don Lawrence in New York City, who still teaches. So if you want to go get a lesson, he allows you to record the lesson. So I have tapes and tapes of me vocalizing with this guy. And one of them is a vocal warm-up that I do before every single time I sing, every time. And it's just scales, but it gets your voice. It turns it into like an instrument. I don't know. The more I do it properly, the more you sing properly without like blowing it out, then it gets stronger. And I find like the more I sing clean, the stronger my voice gets. If I put too much gravel, then the quality, the tone becomes less. Mm-hmm. And if I keep it clean, it becomes this huge sound. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah, it's work. Yeah, I had to really, I had to really train my voice to build it up to the throat muscle strong enough to sustain playing even a short set.
Right.
It's a lot of work. People don't realize it. It's a lot of work.
But also, when we were kids, you and me, nobody had cell phones in their pockets. Nobody was filming the whole show from the front row, like underneath, and then posting the whole thing. when I was a kid, we'd go see Van Halen.
Right.
David Lee Roth would run out there and he'd go, "Hey, I forgot the goddamn words." And we would go, "Yeah." And we would like hit each other and go, "He doesn't even know the fucking words. He doesn't even know the words. This is the greatest thing I ever saw." It was completely different. It was it wasn't dissected. And like in Skid Row, we would do a photo session for, I don't know, 6 hours with six different photographers and shoot thousands of pictures, right? And we would put out like three, you know what I mean? Like we would pick the best ones and that's what the public saw. It wasn't like, it's just when you talk about work, like I used to go out on stage and we would look at each other and we would go, "Let's go crazy up there." Now I go up there like, Don't move around too much, you know, don't jump around, because if you're running around and jumping around, you know, it's not going to be the same as if you're standing perfectly on the mic, you know, because that's how you make records, you know. You're not leaping off the drum riser while you're recording your album. You're in an air conditioned room.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I found being like, especially the laying down vocal tracks on recordings are difficult, man. God, that's hard to do.
You have to stand right there.
And if you don't feel it, man, it's going to come out flat. It's hard, man.
It is hard.
Oh,
I like doubling my voice. Was there, you know, I don't know if you've done that where you sing and then you sing it to yourself. And that gives it this thick tone. Ozzy Osbourne, when you hear him sing, everything's doubled. John Lennon never put out a vocal that wasn't doubled.
Really? And so was he records it twice and they just layer it?
Yes. And one's way lower volume than the other.
Oh, really?
So it gives your voice this really, like Ozzy, when you listen to Crazy Train, he sounds crazy.
Yeah, powerful. It's powerful. Yeah.
But that's called doubling. And next time you're in the studio, give that a shot, because I find that really adds a nice tone.
God, I wish I'd known you were in Vegas. I was just out there for the iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was there all weekend.
Oh, geez.
We stayed a little bit outside of, where did we stay? That Green Valley
place? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful resort.
I love Vegas, man. Yeah, it's like, man.
really I saw all these acts. I saw all these bands and all this, you know, Lionel Richie and Pitbull.
When you saw The Who.
Halsey. No. The Who wasn't there.
Yeah, we saw The Who like last week.
Oh, they just came in. They played the stadium?
No, they played...
Or they played the
arena. Had a full orchestra, like a 72-piece orchestra. It was crazy.
Wow. And they were all there. It was Pete Townsend. It was Roger Daltrey.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And I love The Who music.
Yeah, man. Sure. You
know, see me, feel me.
Yeah, you know, that Who's all Next that. Album. Oh, yeah. Incredible album.
Who's Next is incredible.
Incredible.
The sound of it, the production.
It's an acoustic album.
But it's so
right,
like so much going on.
Right, but it's he's like it's an acoustic album.
Right,
it's not a heavy.
I love the synthesizer, Bab O'Reilly. Yeah. It's just so trippy. I mean, it never gets boring.
No, absolutely every track on the every work of genius. That album is just genius.
Well, I read an interview with Pete Townsend like 2 years ago or something, and he was like, you know, I'm sorry. I want to apologize to the planet for inventing heavy metal. because I didn't intend to do that. But yes, we did do that on the album Live at Leeds. I go, that's a pretty ballsy interview to say that. So I didn't have the album Live at Leeds.
Right.
So I went and got it. And I put the needle down. I go, holy shit, that is... the first heavy metal,
right.
And then the album has all these like, you know, posters and stickers and booklets and all this fun stuff you get to look at like a Cracker Jack box. Right. So you're right, Pete Townsend was right.
So you're still rocking on stage. You just mentioned the Kiss cruise, and recently was ZZ Top. That feeling of being on stage. What does it feel like to be on stage nowadays for you?
Well, you know, as you get older, you read interviews with some singers and they say, oh, I got to tune down the keys, or I got to, I got to use tapes. Mm-hmm. Everybody does that. I don't know, you know, but I don't use tapes. I still don't. I don't tune down the keys. I can still hit the notes that I could hit before. Like sometimes, you know, if I'm playing a club in Iowa or something and it's a Wednesday night, maybe I won't, as you were saying, feel it as much as I would if I was at a DLA Forum with Black Sabbath, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but that's where the filming comes in all the time. You're like, holy moly, everybody's filming everything all the time. So you better sing, bitch. You better sing.
Do you have a favorite show that you put on with Skid Row? What was the ultimate show that you remember?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Yeah. The first thing that comes into my mind is Australia. Australia is this, they love to party in Australia. Huh. And everything is like, the hotels are nice. There's no, it's all, everything's really like five star, it seems like, down there. And the whole culture loves music. Mm. I mean, have you played in Australia?
No.
I'm telling you right now, they will love your ass down there. They will, because they love the Gilmore Girls. I'm surprised you haven't played there.
No, I'm surprised you haven't.
Mm-mm. But that's a really, really cool place. I love playing there. I love Japan. Mm-hmm. I love playing in Japan. I love South America because they are out of their cotton picking boards. They're nuts for rock and roll down there. Right. They just can't even deal with it. They just like the Ramones, right? They weren't huge in America, right? Remember? But in Brazil, they couldn't leave their hotel. It was the Beatles.
That's hysterical.
The Ramones.
That's really funny.
South America is awesome.
So where are you appearing next? Do you have a tour set out, or you have, do you sort of do weekend hits, or how does that go?
This is getting tired of me answering this. I basically,
well, I'm glad I asked it.
Well, no, hang on. I basically kind of had to take this year off a little bit because I'm not supposed to say this stuff. I've been working on music.
Right.
Since two Skid Row singers ago. I've been working on music since before the pandemic. Okay. So right. I have amassed a lot of music. And the thing about putting out music in 2022 is that you have to figure out a way to cut through the clutter, because everybody and their cousin puts out an album or has a YouTube page, or, you know, there's no, like, a long time ago, there used to be record companies that you had to, like, be good to get signed, or, like, no, not just anybody put out records. Right. Like, I mean, you know, it was a privilege and it's something you had to work for. But with the advent of Pro Tools and technology, you can be a wrestler and then just wake up the next day and go, I'm going to be a rocker. Like, I mean, it's just, it's like that show, Don't Be Tardy for the Party. That chick, I'm going to be a singer. And, you know, you just walk in there and waffle out some half-assed take and then fix it up, you know,
all right, right.
Laptop.
All right, right.
So with there being no gatekeepers, you have to have a plan. If you notice albums that are big now, they have like such a long setup time. Like an artist will put out three or four songs or three or four videos even before the album comes out. So it's this big plan. And then there's also the vinyl backlog. You have to get in line to produce vinyl right now because vinyl is so hot. Everybody collects it. That you have to have like 6 months lead time even to get into the vinyl pressing plants. So that's very boring, but that's what's happening. We are amassing the plan. And I just already said too much, but that's the answer.
All right. Good enough.
That's the answer.
So you and I have a personal history. We went on Sunset Boulevard once. You remember that?
No. I remember going to your house, just you and me, right, and watching the very last episode of The Sopranos. In your theater room. It was just you and me. We were totally into it.
Oh my God.
We were the only people in the house, you and me.
Oh my God.
It was the very last episode. And then, get ready for this, planet Earth. Then I took Scott to my buddy Axl Rose's house. And that's a true story. That happened this world.
Oh, man.
And I remember Axl had his Ferraris.
He showed me his cars.
On carpet.
Yes.
Remember?
He had the badass cars, man.
And he had an Enzo that you could only get by invitation.
Right.
And he, I don't even think he opened the windows or anything.
No,
fired it up. Ran. He had like red and blue lights. And,
oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. He's a good man. Good dude.
Yeah.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get into this rapid fire. Ready? I'm going to fire questions at you. Ready? How many cups of coffee do you have a day?
Oh, geez. Four.
Are you Team Logan, Team Jess, or Team Dean?
Team Dean.
Who's your favorite Gilmore Girls character?
Oh, well, God, it had to be Luke from the diner. Wait, well, I gotta say, the guy who played Freddie Mercury in the Queen movie was in an episode with me.
Oh, really? Remy Malek?
Yes. He was on the Gilmore Girls. And look at how cool
Remy
he's
Malek.
Been.
Yeah.
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 Wow. He was in one of the episodes I was in. So I'm a very big Queen fan.
Oh, obviously. Sure.
So way to go, Rami Malek.
He was great. He was
a good character.
He was great in that movie. He was great in that part. Oh, my goodness. What would you order at Luke's Diner?
Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe cabbage roll.
Cabbage roll, buddy. There you go. Would you rather go on the road with Taylor or Michelle?
I'd have to say Taylor.
Right. Why? Tell me why.
Oh, because I love Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I got you there. You're looking for tickets, right?
Well, my team is. They want to go. They want to go. Would you rather? Okay, I already asked you that. Finish the lyric, and where you lead, I will follow. ..
I'll be there. Right? No. I'll be there. Anywhere. Okay.
Where you lead, I will follow.
Yes.
And you're saying
I suck. I suck. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I will be there, right?
You know what? I'm going to
And I'll be there.
Let me tell you something. You made it work. It's the wrong answer, but I'm going to give you a correct score on that.
Hey. Okay.
I'm going to give you that's a correct answer. Jackson's vegetables or Suki's baked goods?
Suki's baked goods.
Yeah.
You know, that'll work after a hangover. You know? You need some baked goods. That also reminds me of Jenny McCarthy.
Tell me.
On the show.
Uh-huh.
And we were in a van going to the set and coming from the trailer.
You mean Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Gosh. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're so similar.
More coffee.
No, definitely. They're very similar. Anybody can make that mistake.
So Melissa McCarthy, I just met her.
Right.
And she gets in the van and she had just scored an acting role where she had to sing. And she cornered me in the van. Oh. I go, Sebastian, I don't know how to sing. What do I do? And then I told her about the warm-up and singing clean and don't blow it out and all this stuff.
But right.
It was a great memory where she was really freaked out.
Right.
But she had to sing and I was like, just do it.
I can't imagine Melissa being intimidated. She's so talented, she could do anything.
But she started on the Gilmore Girls, right? Or pretty much, right? Or I mean, I didn't know who she was before the Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, I think that was her first big job.
Yeah.
Well,
good for her.
Yeah, no.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Would you rather listen to Drella's harp or the Troubadours cover songs?
The Troubadours cover songs.
Yeah. Grant Lee Phillips, the man, the myth.
Oh, he was cool, man.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, and also I remember the day that Sonic Youth came down to the set.
Get out of town.
They were in the show.
Get out.
And I hung out with them. That was amazing.
Wow.
And also, you know, Carol King hanging out.
Like, just
unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a great set to be on. That was really
totally
cool.
Yeah. Totally fun. Totally fun.
Chilton Prep or Stars Hollow High?
Stars Hollow High.
There you go. Sebastian Bach.
You know, I got one more little anecdote to tell you.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm on the Gilmore Girls. I'm on Broadway. All this acting stuff. And my agent calls me and they go, hey, Sebastian, Law and Order want you to try out to be on Law and Order. And I was like, holy moly. I was like, because I like the show Law and Order.
All right.
So I was very excited to go try out. Okay. This is after being on the Gilmores for a couple of years. And you're going to laugh at this. So I go into audition. I got all my lines memorized. And there's directors and Law and Order people. And they go, okay, go. And I read my lines at the speed of Gilmore Girls. I'm coming into the town and I'm talking. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go to the. And they go, they look at each other. I go, slow down. And I go, hey, man. I go, I'm on the show of the Gilmore Girls. Uh-huh. And every time I deliver a line, they tell me to speed it up.
All right.
So I didn't get the gig.
No.
That's okay. I don't see Law and Order on in Australia.
No, they're the poorer for it. I tell you, what a mistake they made. Anyway, thank you, Sebastian, for your time. It's been a blast catching up. Good luck.
Let's hang out in Vegas next time you're here.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm gonna. Maybe I'll be there next year. We'll grab your digits, and I'll get in touch.
Yeah, man. How do I do that without like broadcasting it on the internet?
give it to Amy.
Okay.
And she'll give it to me.
Cool.
Yeah, because it would be recorded and broadcast. We don't want to do that. You get hassled enough. I was out with you one night. It was a mob scene. It was really. You're truly a rock star. I mean, that really solidified it for me about what impact you had on the music industry and on fandom, because man, they were lining up just to say hello.
Great fans. The meet and greet thing on the road. I don't know if you're doing that, but the fans love to come on your bus and get a picture for Facebook and say hello. And that's where I really feel it.
Yeah, I do conventions. I do them all over the world. Yeah. And the fans show up. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Sebastian, all the best. Great
awesome
catching
shot.
Up. Thank you. Good luck with everything.
You too, bro.
New projects coming out. I hope they're big hits for you. And we'll be in touch.
And who knows? Maybe we'll do another Gilmore Girls. We're all still alive.
That's a great reason to do something. We are breathing, right?
All right. Thank you, dude. Great talking to you.
Good talking to you, man. Take care. All right. All right. Bye. Everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, S-C-O-T-T-Y-P.com, scottyp.com. Grade one specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.